Fiddling Around on 96.1 The Hound.
I am Liz of Liz and the Lovelies. Liz and the Lovelies is a band. The Lovelies are any amazing musician that gets to that I get to play with, which today is Nilko Andreas on the guitar. And if I'm alone, the Lovelies are the songs. So this first song is called People Pumping Pedals, and I wrote it on a train as I was moving from Virginia to Chicago many years ago. Estranged, frozen in their place, disappearing by the tracks inside my mind. Why were you so kind? I never saw a stranger in your face, but braced for colder weather down the line. You're a boy behind an old man's eyes. Oh, stories, the things that never die. I want to drink you with wine by fireside, but with people pumping pedals, who knows where I'll see you on the ride. Through the mountainside, swollen bags laid all the tracks, not knowing what was on the other side. So the city swelled with people pumping pedals, throwing glowing wishes in that wishing well. Well, I'm a woman with endless sense of pride, full of stories, the things that never die. I'll keep moving and I'll never go inside with people pumping pedals. Maybe someday you'll be right there.
Thank you so much. Thank my goodness. You. Welcome. You're listening to Fiddlin' Around, and I'm so happy to have you all here today.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I just want to get us started. For Liz specifically, I know that you are just like the definition of a multi-hyphenate. As a singer-songwriter, an actor, I'm an actor myself, and I am just so enthralled by your journey. I know that you're from around the Roanoke, Virginia area.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about your upbringing and how you got into music and the arts in general?
Sure. So yes, I grew up mainly in that region. So like the Roanoke, I actually, when I was a little kid, was in Roanoke.
We ended up in North Carolina as well for about 6 years when I was like in the sort of formative like third grade through like early high school years. Mm. So we were like on Lake Norman right above Charlotte before it exploded.
Yeah.
There's like nobody around at that point.
Wow.
And then we just kind of made a circle back, mm-hmm. back up to the region. So I was in Bedford, Virginia for the rest of my school. I think what formed my musical ear is that area. I mean,
yeah.
It's just like full of bluegrass. And also my uncles, we would every holiday like be together and sitting around a fire or sitting in a circle and learning songs together. And like I learned guitar from them.
Mm-hmm.
So it just like, yeah, it was a very organic process of that way. Like my uncle is from New Orleans.
Oh, cool.
And then my other uncle just knew every, you know, Neil Young song or Bob Dylan song. So it just like, yeah, definitely infused into me.
Yeah. So you've got a range of influences. I definitely see where that bluesy sound comes from with the New Orleans roots there.
Oh yeah, totally.
And then when did you start acting as well? I know you moved to Chicago pretty soon after you became a young adult.
Yes. I started acting when I was 9.
Yes.
I was a little kid.
Little orphan Annie.
Exactly, right? Well, actually, I was Glenda, the Good Witch.
No way.
That was my first role. I was, in this giant pink dress with this giant, like somebody had made this star, like they made the wand and the star was like the size of my head.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy. But I've been doing musicals I was doing musicals about 3 a year ever since. Like I think there's just been periods in my life where I've had like dry spells, but like literally I've been doing plays since then.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Yes.
And I bet that definitely influences your songwriting as well, because the storytelling that comes along with performing and taking someone else's words and bringing that to a large group of people, now it's your own words. How does that feel?
It feels pretty good. It's I would say like because I was exposed to a variety of music, like,
yeah.
And that was really helpful for my brain and to decide like what kind of sound I wanted to inhabit, because I think musical theater, you know, can have a certain sheen.
Definitely.
And I really started to get, yeah, like attracted to your alternative forms of theater that would use music.
Yeah.
And that kind of became more of my MO, like in college. And then even in Chicago, like I just started to get involved with groups that were utilizing music as a medium, but it wasn't necessarily musical theater,
yeah,
the genre.
Totally.
Right? And so I love work like that. And yeah, I love that that's kind of a trend now on Broadway.
Oh my gosh.
I love that Hadestown is a thing.
Oh, I love it.
It makes me so happy.
What's your favorite musical right now?
Well, that one's definitely,
it's
definitely
up there. Oh, it hurts. It hurts so good.
It's so awesome. my parents brought home the soundtrack for Les Miserables when I was 5 years old, and I would act it out with my Beanie Babies.
No.
One more day
before. Right? Like the little cat. You know.
Revolution.
So I knew every word to that. I would do the Jean Valjean part, you know.
Oh my goodness, of course. Very your type.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Just anything that was like very very sad.
So much angst in there for such a young person.
Oh, right?
Oh my gosh.
Right. But no, it was more like it's just like that ultimate expression.
Yes.
That like
yes.
What is the range of expression down below, and then it's like if you can explore that, then what is it up here?
Totally.
Know?
And it's almost like those types of mediums give you permission to feel things that you feel, but society kind of teaches us to push down a little bit because
exactly.
It's too much. So it's very freeing in a way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And to really display like all the different kinds of pain and also beauty that comes from pain.
Absolutely.
Right? The sort of results of when you go through the thing, like what comes out then the other side. You know?
Totally, totally. Well then, Nielko here, if you want to introduce yourself a little bit and we can talk about how you all met and how you came to be collaborators in the city.
Yeah, thank you. Super happy to be here. I'm Nielko Andreas. I am originally from Bogota, Colombia, down in South America. I came to study in New York City 20 years ago, and then I just decided to stay because there was not a lot going on in the classical music world back in my country, so I just stayed here. But always connected to my roots and the Latin American folk song scene. So I've been always singing and playing the guitar as a side project besides my classical career. And then I was just working for this company. I was music directing this show in London. And then I heard this magical, amazing voice. And then I realized it was actually original songs. And I was like, what's going on here? Who's this person? And I just looked for that person in a more like from a professional perspective, like I wanted to really get to know this musician. And then I met Liz that way, mm-hmm. and then we started exchanging experiences yeah. and realizing how similar both of our folk traditions are, mm-hmm. even though aesthetically they might be a little different, but yeah. deep inside, the roots of the feelings, of the human feelings, are the same anywhere in the world. So we just decided to collaborate, and then I, of course, fell in love with all her production, her music, her art, and then so everything started as a collaborative experiment of work in music, and then one thing led to the other.
I love it.
And then we've been collaborating since, and I'm just excited and proud and lucky that I'm able to enjoy being here and her music, and just it's an honor to be part of it.
Well, we're lucky to have you all, and thank you for bringing that humanity into this space, into this very brutalist type basement we have going on here. But filling it with a lot of really, really wonderful vibes in thank here. You. So we'll get on into our next song. What do we have next?
This song is kind of a hootenanny that I wrote about the allegory of Plato's cave, where you're kind of seeing the light after being in the dark for so long.
And all my years of blinking off, only seeing the shadows on the wall. They tell me all of my stories, and I live to repeat them all. But if I turn around, oh, I turn around, oh, I know that I'll burst into flame. Oh, but if I never do, I'll remain the same.
Here on Finland Around, and I'm so glad. Yes. So I would love to talk about your newest EP that yes. came out at the beginning of the year, at February, right?
Yes.
So it's been brewing, yeah. but it has not lost any of its sheen and any of its shimmer.
Oh.
But to get us started on that, I would love to talk a little bit more about how the project Liz and the Lovelies came about in the first place,
totally.
And how Liz became more than just yourself and morphed into this really beautiful thing.
Totally. So yeah, I'd been songwriting since I was 12, like ever since Jewel, you know, like she's like a big influence. Like really, since I picked up a guitar, I was like, yeah, I want to write some songs.
Totally.
But then in my adulthood, I was, you know, putting out songs as my nameless Chittister,
mm-hmm.
and just doing it kind of on my own and sort of like, you know, I'd hire a band or something like that to do things with me. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't feel good. It didn't feel honest. And I felt sort of like the energy I was creating wasn't attracting what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So the Liz and the Lovelies, like that. The Lovelies, that word is like kind of always around me and it always feels good. And it kind of started with love. It was like my family, my sort of Chicago family at the time, became like my core band. And we were, you know, together for about like 3-4 years as that core band. And like some people would kind of have to go or come back just because like this life is tough.
It's tough.
Yeah. And everybody's doing their own thing. And I have total respect for it. And I think that's what it's become, is that like, it allows me to play with the musicians I respect and people that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to like be like, and now you have to be here.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
So it allows,
it's fluid.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And you used the word experiment earlier on, and I feel like that's a really fun way of describing music, because it's never really the same. It's never always have the outcome that we think it will. And that's really exciting. Totally. And sometimes dangerous, sometimes just really, really thrilling. So
exactly.
That's
exciting and alive. Like,
yeah.
We've been talking about like what art forms are alive and which ones are kind of like they stay put, and that's what makes them what they are.
Mm.
But yeah, I like the aliveness of live playing with other musicians that I trust to play live with.
Totally.
Yeah, even if the song is what it is, it's like it always kind of has a different energy because of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Billy, that is just, it's just such a haunting album is really the word that I've been feeling in my heart listening to it. You know, it's got this, the bluesy grit that we talk about in the opening song for I'm Old. And then one moment that really stuck with me was it was So They Say, the very ending outro. It just, it's bone chilling and so eerily beautiful. But I would love to hear what the story behind it is.
So actually, and this is what like I want to sort of explain, and it's kind of hard to explain it a little bit when you put it out there. But that's a soundtrack.
Wow.
It's a soundtrack to a show that I developed with another group in Chicago called The Cabinet of Curiosity. And they're actually a puppet group.
Oh, wow.
And it's beautiful puppetry. It's like these wooden puppets and shadow puppetry and crankies and things like that. All these different mediums together. So that is the story of Billy the Kid.
That is so
exciting.
That's
why it's called Billy.
Yeah,
it's Billy's journey. And Billy had like kind of a, not even kind of, he had a very tragic existence. Mm. Out in the desert, and so, you know, that For I Get Old, it's like these prairie witches at the very beginning of the story that are sort of like that's his birth. His birth is sort of haunted already. You know, there's sort of a curse in his blood in a way.
Totally.
And then it keeps exploring like his story throughout. So those are like the highlighted songs. And,
yeah.
We developed that back in 2017. It had another run like at an international puppet festival in 2019. But my role was writing the music and to be the like instrumentalist in front of all the puppetry and be like narrating it.
Oh, that is so cool.
So and we never recorded the music, and I had all this, you know, the way I heard it in my head, the way it should be, like what I wanted it to be, just was it couldn't be executed in some ways because everybody's hands were full.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Like, people were singing with me and they were wonderful and brilliant like actors and singers, but like, yeah, it just, we couldn't have all the elements there. So I sat down and I just did it. Like, the everything you're hearing is like me in the apartment like playing with ideas.
Wow.
And that's the first time I've ever done an EP where like I did all the stuff for it with the help of others, like to like you helped me with the mixing and like things like that, just to like have another ear and to like tweak certain things. Like I had a few people I trusted to like guide me a bit, but like it was the first time I did it all myself.
Wow. Like you said, I love the type of theater that brings these different genres and styles to the stage, because when are we ever going to hear that type of blues number in a puppet show?
Exactly.
Ever. It fits so well. It just makes so much sense. And I love that it was such a raw collaborative experience as well. Yes. I'm sure that makes it all the more special and an achievement on your part, just totally. Personally. So yes. That's really exciting. And yes. Congratulations on the release of that.
Thank you.
And we'll talk a little bit more about what is coming next for you all in just a little bit.
Yes.
But let's go on into our next tune.
I'll play Before I Get Old.
I love
It'll be by myself, not with the the two other voices, but
we'll imagine the puppets.
Exactly. Imagine the puppets around. The ladies.
Haunting. Oh my goodness. Wow.
I think it's a Halloween album for sure.
Definitely. Oh my gosh. Get us into spooky season the right way. Yes. All right. Well, you're listening to Fiddlin' Around. Welcome back. And here's one of my favorite questions I love to ask on the show. And sometimes it throws people for some reason. Although we all listen to music and we all feel things that inspire us and, you know, we have our anthems. So I would love to ask what... 3 song set of songs that are not your own would you use to describe yourself as a musician?
I was thinking, and this might be news to you, Nilko. I don't know. Well, there was like a whole set list. He gave me a set list of songs that like he was like, this is it. This is good stuff. And then I gave him a set list of like, playlist rather of like, this is me.
True.
And I think 3 songs that are on there are Chinese Translation, M. Ward. Are you familiar with this song?
I don't know that song.
This is aging me for sure. I was definitely very influenced by that, like, post-Napster, mm-hmm. like, postal service.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and especially in high school, I was, like, so freaking cool. but no, that song is, like, the way it's so simple and it's kind of circular. I highly recommend watching the music video as well. It's a little cartoon. It's beautiful. A Case of You, Joni Mitchell.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Any Joni Mitchell, but I mean, like that song. Yeah, I think in particular that's kind of the layers and things like that.
Yeah. Have you ever played with the dulcimer and experimented with that?
Yeah, and my mom actually she makes them. She gets some people build the parts, but she builds it like
cool.
Itself. And then she gives them like as gifts to people and things. But yeah, the Appalachian Laugh dulcimer was like always in my house, like since I was a little kid, and the auto harp.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I love.
Like always. And yeah, I've like played around with it with her things because yeah, definitely that's her.
Yeah, stripped down. It's beautiful.
It's like with like a little feather you're playing with.
Oh my gosh.
And then there's a song. It's Andrew Bird, and it's a song called "A Nervous Tick Motion of the Head to the Left." And I just like the lyrical content in that, and then like the kind of shape of that song is sort of orchestral folk, you know?
Yeah. Very grand, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much. It's like anything sort of Chris Deely sort of inserted itself into as well. Like there's sort of a thoughtfulness to the arrangement of things.
Totally.
That I think you don't hear in certain other folk bands and things like that. Yeah. Too, right?
Especially with Chris, he likes to almost add a certain character to each instrument, and they all play their own role in this really big play of sorts.
Yes.
And I love that about bluegrass. I love that everything has their own place and they all contribute a different thing. And I bet that's the same with the Lovelies as well. Everyone that comes into the group offers their own special touch, and it makes it different every time, which is really fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's where like when I met Nilko, that it was completely like different. The music that he brought into my life and kind of like what comes to him naturally felt familiar, but also completely like otherworldly. And I like the elements that is bringing into my life as well. Like we've started to do a collaborative project too, where it's just us, and we're throwing both of our songs into the mix and exploring like what is it to be like, what is Americana when it's inclusive of South America?
Yeah,
America is bigger than what we deem as North America.
As I was saying earlier, I think it's a way of, you know, like now more than ever, I think the planet needs some kind of unification, you know, as opposed to globalization. You know, it's like this commercial word that I don't really love, but just like the way to just broaden our possibilities of perception, right? Like understanding that the world is way bigger than what we have been told for so many years.
Yeah,
so many cultures, so many things. And I think now more than ever, because now there is an awareness, especially in the younger generations, like people are, you know, understanding that speaking 3 or 4 languages is not that special, and then people should grow up speaking 2 or 3 languages.
Yeah.
The world is bigger than the World Series of sports, where you don't play with the world, you play with one country. So I think through music we have been able to find those points of connections and understanding that the feelings are the same. Like you can speak with somebody in Asia or Australia, and they just went through a breakup, and their heart hurts, and they write love songs that are hurtful and painful, and it's the same feeling that a guy in Peru might be feeling, right? So through music we have been able to find those common elements that brings us together and makes us believe that we are just one at the end of the day, independently of the language or the aesthetical ways that you present your message. So that's what we have been discovering, and I think it's beautiful. So I myself have been just learning a bunch of beautiful Americana people that I never heard before, like, you know, John Prine or you know, all the songs by Joni Mitchell or Bob Dylan, that before it was just like this you know, like rock songs, that's what you grew up thinking. But then you started learning them and analyzing them and reading the poetry, and it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
And then I think it's been the same way the other way around when I've been showing Liz some music by Cuban singers, some writers that are amazing, or South American songs from the 60s and 70s, and there is this commonality of admiration, and I think that's what we're trying to do with the Latin Americana Liz and Nilko project.
I think
it's been a great, beautiful way of learning about each other's cultures and brings us together.
That is very well put. Yeah, yeah. And it's also beautiful. I mean, I'm sure you all have noticed that even with the audiences that are enjoying these types of unification projects, it's it's for so long it'd been a gatekeeping game of like, this type of music is only for these type of people.
Correct.
And sometimes language was a barrier, and we've always felt that that was a roadblock to ever being able to enjoy any type of music. But the language of music itself is so much more broad than any spoken word, and I love that now I'm seeing, I have friends from Kentucky who are listening to the reggaeton, and yeah. I have friends from Canada who are listening to bluegrass. It's just a whole range of people who are getting to find themselves in types of music that they would never have experienced if it weren't for, I mean, the age of the internet, but also just people like you all bringing these types of genres to a wider audience. So that's really exciting.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. All right, we've got a couple more songs, so let's go on and get into our next one, then we'll talk about what's next for you all.
Yes. So this one, Nilko is a classical guitarist, and he's an incredible classical guitarist. And I feel like this song called My Way, Your Way, which I wrote with my band, and on the record is my friend Lewis Rawlinson. He's been my cellist for a really long time, but I like to do this one with Nilko as well, because I just feel like it brings him out as much as some of my songs can. But he has way more to show. Yes.
Sky like a star, mystified with the love that I felt from afar. I reached from a beacon that built me so high that I fell half the clouds, but never had your wings to fly.
If you go your way, I will go my way. If I go my way, you will go your way. I ask you to stay, you ask me to stay. If you go your way, I will go my way. If I go my way, you will go your way. I ask you to stay, you ask me to
All right. So this weekend, the 15th of September, you all are down in Brooklyn at the Jalopy Theater, which is really fun. Oh my gosh, I love it. And is this your first time at the Jalopy?
This is my first time at the Jalopy. And the cool connection is that in Chicago, I lived in Chicago for about 10 years. Mm. I've only been in New York for about like almost 3 years-ish.
Cool.
I taught ukulele songwriting, all sorts of things at this place called the Old Town School of Folk Music in Chicago. It's like a 70-year-old folk music school. Mm. And two students that were at that school took the idea of the Old Town School of Folk Music and they brought it to Brooklyn, and it's the Jalopy.
No way.
So that's why I was like, oh man, this is Old Town. And I'm so glad that, because I always thought that Old Town School of Folk Music was such a beautiful idea because they're, you know, putting people in a circle and teaching them music in a certain way that is kind of getting lost.
Yeah.
And they've been doing it for, you know, since 1958. So like, it's just kind of, it's very rooted in the folk tradition. And that the Jalopy is a place that also is doing that too. And it now has its own tradition. It now has its own, you know, identity as well. It's like kind of the sun.
Yeah, exactly. <know? laughs> Yeah. Shining through the dark clouds of New York City. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's so exciting. I had no idea about that history and that connection there.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited to kind of join those families together. And I have some friends, they're called the O Boys.
Oh yeah.
That are going to be opening, but I'm so happy that they're around this weekend to be able to open, because one of them now lives in Philadelphia. I did a Buddy the Buddy Holly story with them 6 years ago.
Yes.
It was like the best summer ever. And I actually, like, while we were, you know, stage bantering, I was like, you guys should just be a band. And then they did.
Wow.
But it's not my fault. They were already going to do that.
Of course.
But I like to credit myself.
Wow.
I'm very happy that they're going to be able to share with us too.
So. That is so exciting.
But yes, I'm going to be joined by Nilko Andreas, who's going to be amazing.
Yes.
And then also my friend Kevin Schwarzwald, who was one of the original Lovelies. He
wow.
is a fiddle player. He could not be here today, but he's the fiddle player.
Exciting.
So they'll be the three of us for the Lovelies.
That'll be a great show. And I love that venue. It's so intimate, but it also gives you that like... kind of hoe down feel, if in a way,
totally.
You know,
it's a town hall.
It is. It's great.
One more thing about the Jalopy is the way they are opening their doors to, like, you know, cultural exchange and fantastic. Like, the first time I played there was with my Afro-Colombian band.
Yeah.
So it's like this kind of again, unification of cultures. I think that the Jalopy is doing an amazing job because everything that's related to Americana or bluegrass, it's very well represented, but they also welcome every culture, and their lineup is amazing. So yeah, amazing.
It's
amazing
crazy.
Place.
Yeah.
If you extract like the genre from the word folk, it's the people.
Yes.
True.
So it's the people.
All types of folk music.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Totally.
And where else are you going to find all that in one place? You're in Brooklyn this weekend.
Yes.
And then you're headed down home to Virginia
for a
while.
Virginia is for lovely score. I'm excited to just do three dates. It's October 1st is going to be in Charlottesville. That's a house show, so you'd have to kind of reach out to me. And then on October 4th, that's in Lynchburg. That is sponsored by Sattva Yoga Center, which I'm excited to team up with them. And then the 5th is at the Kava Club in Richmond. Richmond's one of my favorite cities to play music in. So.
Awesome. What does the rest of this year look like? Are you getting in the home studio again anytime soon?
I've been starting to write, and we had a book club this year where we were reading Women Who Run With the Wolves. And I was writing a song for each chapter that was inspired by that. And we had a great group that was reading. Nilko was included in that too. And I have a play in my head too. So like, I'm
exciting.
Like songs first.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Well, we've got to keep our eye on you all and wish you safe travels going down to Virginia.
Thank you.
And I hope you have a great warm welcome. Well, it's Liz and the Lovelies here on Fiddlin' Around. We've got two more tunes here.
Yes.
And let's get on into our second to last one.
So this song is one of the new ones that is inspired by Women Who Run With the Wolves. The writer of that book is Mexican and Hungarian, so she talks a lot about her culture in her, I would say, like, with the stories that she's pulling from, because that whole book is like taking folk stories from cultures and really dissecting them and really finding like what is the feminine strength and energy that's inside of each one of them. I've been writing a lot on the ukulele as well, which brings out a different something, I don't know. It's called La Loba.
La Loba canta sobre los huesos, los huesos, los huesos. La loba canta sobre los huesos, los huesos.
Featuring Nilko Andreas on the guitar. We'll also be touring Virginia October 1st. We'll be in Charlottesville, October 4th in Lynchburg, and October 5th in Richmond. And for more information about that, just go to Instagram. It's at Liz and the Lovelies. And if you're interested in our Latin Americana project as well, at Liz and Nilko and at Nilko Andreas.
Thank you, Fiddle and Around, for having us today.
This song is called Sun's Up.
Why didn't we make it? the good out of my head. Good, we were in bed. But good, we never did.
You've been listening to Fiddlin' Around on 96.1 FM The Hound, and I will see you next week. Roll on. Ow, ow, ow!